Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started.
Hey, hey, and welcome to the Feminist Book Club podcast, the show that brings you the best of the best feminist content. I'm your host, Neba from Notes by Neba, and I'm joined by my amazing friend, Samara, an incredible body positivity and sexual empowerment blogger. Samara, thank you so much for coming on our podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm always so excited to talk all things bodies and confidence and sexual empowerment. So I'm excited to be here.
Yes, we are very excited to have you. I think we first met at like this blogger's event or something like that. And I remember at the time I had just gained a little bit of weight and I was feeling really self-conscious about it. And when I went home and checked out your content, I was like, you know what? I'm just living and it's okay.
I'm so glad you felt that way.
Yeah, for sure. You probably get messages like that all the time based off of all of your offer content, right?
Oh yeah. Those are probably some of my favorite messages, but also it's still very surreal and still very crazy that like me just being myself has like impacted so many people. It's an insane thought. It makes me so happy, but it's still like kind of overwhelming. I'm just like, wow, like me just existing has helped some, you know, girl all across, you know, the world. It's like, wow.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, how do you even get from like, you know, being a person to being a person who talks about it? Like, what can you give us a little hint into like, what was your journey? Like, what started your own kind of like interest in all of this?
I think it started when I originally wanted to be a content creator. I wanted to be the Instagrammer. I wanted to be a blogger. And it was during the summer. So obviously all the influencers were taking bikini pictures. So I was like, okay, let me set up my tripod. Took some photos from behind. I was trying to show off a little booty. And I remember going through the photos and I think like my heart dropped. Like I felt like I was going to puke because I saw that I had back rolls. And it was as if like the world had ended and time had stopped. It was like something I'd never looked at my back before. I'd never looked at it before. And when you're so used to seeing all these perfect thin women 24/7, like seeing my back rolls was like the most devastating thing I think I had ever like seen in my entire life. And I hate that I was even in that mindset. Now looking back at it, I'm just like, what was wrong with you? Like that's a terrible mindset to have, but it was, you know, when all you're seeing is the really thin, perfect bodies. It's just like, man, like if I don't look like that, I can't even post this picture. So
this was,
oh my goodness, probably 3-4 years ago. And I'm pretty sure I still have the photos on my phone to this day too, because I know the exact bikini I was wearing. And I wanted to post it so badly. And I'm not even ashamed to say this, but I completely Photoshopped the rolls out. I did. And that was the first picture I'd ever posted. And it wasn't like a really proud or exciting moment because like deep down you're like, oh, it's like, that's not what I look like, but I posted it anyways. So I thought that's what I had to do to become a content creator and influencer. But it turns out I was very wrong. So I started unfollowing celebrities. I started unfollowing people that just like weren't making me feel happy. And I started following plus size women. I started following thinner women who had insecurities. I started following all these different people, and like the mindset shift was insane. Like it completely changed my mindset on everything. And so my content naturally evolved with it. It went from just posting in cute outfits and stuff like that, which I wasn't really excited about. I know nothing about fashion, to posting like my body and getting comfortable with it and just living my life. And I love it.
Yeah. I feel like Insta was such a different place, you know, like 4 or 5 years ago or whatever, because it started off as being this like weird place where everyone was just perfect 24/7. And like, oh, I'm just casually taking this photo and I just happened to look a very specific way and I just happened to have this perfect lighting. And there's, I don't know, I think it's kind of interesting to see that. Were you always like kind of comfortable with it? Like, obviously you started out and you were kind of like, you know, uncomfortable with your body and stuff, but how did you eventually get comfortable? Was there like a specific point or were you like scared?
Oh, I was terrified. I think you just hit a point in your life when you just stop caring. You stop giving a fuck and you're just like, whatever. But yeah, every single post that I would make that would be like slightly, you know, more on the risque side or slightly, you know, showing more of my body or showing a roll or showing myself sitting down. Simple stuff that normal humans look like, all the normal stuff that people should see all the time, I would have like a heart attack before posting. I would have to work up the nerve. I'd have to close my eyes and just hit post because like that was the only way I was going to post it. Because it was really hard because a lot of the content creators I was still seeing weren't posting that stuff. I followed new people who were, but there were still so many bloggers who were still not posting that stuff, which is totally fine. But it made it harder for me to get comfortable with it. So it was a process. It was a long process. But I got there. I feel like I'm still kind of getting there every day a little bit more, but you know, it's just part of life.
Yeah, for sure. It's always a work in progress. It's always an upward climb. I always try to look more at like, you know, the overall trend of things. Like, am I overall doing better rather than just like one specific point at like one specific day or whatever like that. One thing I think we can also mention is, you know, as women of color on the internet, that hugely affects kind of like your audience and how you're perceived and things like that, you know, in light of everything that's been happening over the past year, which has really been a reference of everything been happening for the last hundreds of years. How has your experience been as like a Black woman of color on the internet talking about this?
I think the biggest thing I've noticed is like, as I started becoming like into the content creator and blogger space, there weren't that many people who looked like me. And honestly, it's still, you kind of have to dig really to find people who have any kind of melanin in their skin, who are a blogger or influencer, content creator, whatever. You have to dig for them. They're not easy to find. You've got to find somebody who recommended them or find someone who just happened to post about them. So it's harder to find and it can be a little discouraging because you're just like, well, dang, like, is anybody making it? Like, is anybody successful in this industry if I can't find them? So it's stressful. It's discouraging. It's scary. Like, I don't even know if it's going to work. Like, is this going to work? Or is it just like, I'm just happen to not be seeing them? But it's a different feeling when you're just not used to seeing anybody who really looks like you.
Yeah. I think last year there was this publication of like people of color content creators and white content creators. And they all like disclose the rates that they do for, you know, making TikToks, reels, posts, whatever. And there was just like this huge, significant gap between people of color and white people. And I thought it was just really telling, like, you know, in terms of, it's not just like a, you know, you look different, but you're also getting compensated differently. So it makes sense that there's not as many, you know, people of color creators, even though there really should be. Like, how is representation such a huge thing? You know, like finding makeup that matches your skin, finding a way that like, you know, a person you can relate to, et cetera. Yeah, I wonder, you also mentioned a couple times on your blog going through kind of like a skincare journey and your struggles with eczema specifically. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? How is that going for you now?
That was probably another huge part of just learning to love myself and my confidence was because my eczema was so bad, but I still have really bad flare-ups to the point where like I would wear turtlenecks in the summer, you know, it can be a hot mess and you just don't want to show that. I found this one amazing woman, I can't remember the name of her right now, but she lives in Australia and she is like body confidence and she has eczema. And when I saw her posting in a bikini, my heart was like filled with so much joy. I was like, holy crap. Like I can clearly see she has eczema and she is smiling. She's beautiful and she's confident. And she is one of the people who really got me like out of my shell. Like, okay, you can wear a t-shirt. Like you're fine. You can wear shorts. Like you have some scarring, but like nobody cares. Like you do you, boo. You're confident. It's fine.
How about like your own blog? Like what kind of responses have you been getting at the start versus like now? We touched a little bit on kind of like you've been getting a lot of like, oh, people who've been impacted by you and things like that. Was it always like this?
Started like increasing when I started showing my personality more. A huge part of that was when I started making TikTok videos and then Instagram came out with reels because my personality does not come across in photos and I wouldn't post a whole lot on Instagram stories. I posted some and that's where my personality started coming out. But I feel like when the video started being created, that's when I feel like the biggest impact happened because you saw kind of like me more so and they could relate. People can relate to people on video way more than a photo. So I feel like when they saw my personality and saw what I'm about, they're like, oh my gosh, like, that's so cool. I relate to that. And I think that that's when it kind of increased versus just like reading a blog post or just seeing a photo. It's not quite the same thing, but videos just have such a huge impact. So I think that's when it really started.
Do you have any idea of like what your like top TikToks have been?
It's usually ones that are a little bit more on like the risque side. I know like one of the Instagram reels, I think was about, had something to do with sex. I think it had something, I don't know if it was like oral sex or something. I made some kind of funny video. I had like millions of views, which I wasn't expecting it to do that, which is me being kind of goofy, just wanting to like normalize sex conversations. It's usually something on sex that tends to get people like, oh wow, like we're talking about this. Like, okay, like, that's fun. Like, yeah, it's, to me, it's like something like sex is like something as simple as talking about a book. Like, it's just at this point, it's just like, you know, it's nothing crazy. We don't need to be weird about it. We're just talking.
Yeah.
So I think those videos tend to do very well.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like you can't even talk body positivity without mentioning like women's sexuality. Cause like so many sexual things depend on like, you know, marketing in a scheme of like making you look a specific way or fitting a specific mold and stuff like that.
Yes, for sure. It's always, they're always kind of like tied in there somehow. You're always sneaking them in, especially because like when women start showing their bodies, you know, for body confidence or body positivity, you know, everyone's, you know, that little, the sexual thing sneaks in because people have sexualized women's bodies for so long. And it's just like, well, the body isn't, you know, technically sexual on its own. You know, we can be sexual if we want to, but at the end of the day, a body is just a body, you know, a boob is just a boob. That's just a butt. You know, if you want to like embrace sexuality, it's totally cool. But like, also it's just a body. Like, it's not that big of a deal. It's nothing crazy. So, but yes, they do definitely go hand in hand for sure.
Yeah. I feel like there's just so much shame associated with like wanting to have sexual pleasure and just being sexual at all. I was reading this book recently that was in, I think it was actually in Feminist Book Club's recommended books. It was called Year of the Witching. It's the first book by this brand new author. And one of the themes that comes up pretty often is like just suppression of women's sex. There's like men who take multiple wives and females who are just expected to like have terrible sex and give birth, and that's like it. And this, I don't know, I feel like this suppression and shame can be found in so many different levels. You know, in some areas it's like, you know, shaming people for having sex before marriage, and other places it's shaming people for how they're like dressed or whatever. In your posts, I think you always kind of have photos that are very like either revealing or very empowering. How did you like eventually overcome the shame with any of this? Or did you ever have any shame with like sexuality?
Oh, for sure. I feel like shame started in high school. I feel like I was shamed so much for my sexuality in high school. All the like, that was like the biggest slut shaming. I have never felt so like shamed before in my entire life that when I finally get out of high school and like do my own thing, I was like, I made it a point. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but like, I'm just going to be a sexually empowered woman in this world. And I don't give a fuck who has anything to say about it, because you go so freaking long. Like, have people telling you like, oh, that's gross. Like, you shouldn't do that. You need to be more lady. Like, all these things. Nobody ever says anything to the men. So it's just like, this is my time. Like, I'm at the point in my life where like, you will not tell me no. You will not tell me what to do. Like, absolutely not. Like, if I want to be a sexually empowered woman on the internet and show my body half naked, I'm going to do that. I'm an adult and I'm going to do it. And it's 100% my way of taking back shame that I felt when I was younger. Now I can be empowered. I can be proud about it. And I no longer feel any shame when it comes to any kind of photos, anything like that. I'm just like, yep, it's my body. I like to talk about sex and I'm very proud about it.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that's such a nice thing to like aspire to eventually. Cause I feel like so many of us grow up with a lot of that shame. How did your like friends and family and people in your life like react to you posting this kind of like risque type content?
My friends are totally cool with it. they just know that's me. Family wise, it's kind of like, they kind of have like a rough idea of like what I do or like what I post. Like, obviously we're not sitting around like the kitchen table, like going through my photos or anything. But they know me, they know like who I am and like what I do. So, you know, they're fine. I'm also kind of like a stubborn person to the point where it's just like, you know, if you don't accept it, like that's cool, but I'm not going to change anything about it. It's like, this is my life. This is who I am. And either get on board with it or, you know, I'll see you later. This is just who I am. So I like to surround myself with people who are fully supportive.
Were there people who were really close to you and were really, you know, supportive when you didn't expect they would be, or not supportive when you expected they would be?
Not really. I think the only thing that I noticed that when I was single and I was like going on dates and stuff, like some people were very cool with it. You know, they, you know, you ask all those boring questions, like, what do you do? All this stuff. And when I tell them what I would do, Some people would be like, oh, it's so cool. I've never met a girl like that. And someone would be like, is that even a job? Like, why are you talking about that? And that's, well, the day would be over after that. But those were the people I'd be like, wow, there's men out here who really are not okay with women being sexually empowered. So that's good to know. Luckily that, you know, my boyfriend now is fully supportive with everything that I do, but 100%, there were some men who were just like, not okay with it. And I was like, that's cool. We can part ways right now. No problem.
Oh my gosh. That's a great decision. Just part ways immediately. I feel like sometimes, I don't know, men may like the idea of something, and then when it's in practice, they will not. Like, you know, there's so many people going on OnlyFans and paying for women, but the moment that women are like, I would like to be empowered by this and actually, you know, take back the hold of this, then they're just like, oh, I don't know about this, and like shaming people for having OnlyFans or whatever. And I'm like, oh, the hypocrisy, I can't. Speaking of like women just like doing their own thing and, you know, just vibing out, what kind of like community that you have found yourself being a part of, or community that you're even building? Do you like, I don't know, frequent in any like circles? How do your followers like engage with each other? Just kind of what is the feel and the vibe of people who come to your section of the internet?
I think my favorite part, and actually happened a few days ago, where I saw like two girls in my comments like hyping each other up. Like they were like complimenting each other, going back and forth. Like it had nothing to even do with me. And I was like, this is amazing. Like this is so freaking cool that I've been able to like bring these women to a place where it's just like they can just compliment each other and hype each other up. So like that is the feel that I want. Like I love it if they like, if somebody knows the answer, somebody else doesn't, they're in the comments like sharing, like that's where I want the positivity. You know, you always have like your negative Nancy's here and there, but like, man, the positive so outweighs that. And when like these people can like find each other, and then you can find other like body confidence or body positive or sexual empowerment pages, and it's just like this huge community just starts to grow, and I just love it. It's amazing.
That's so wholesome. I love that they're like just talking about each other and just being so wholesome like that. You kind of are a person that exists on the internet, so to speak. Sometimes I kind of almost describe myself that way when I'm like sitting at a computer for so long. But I feel like when you're a person of the internet, there's, you know, everyone sees like the highlight reel and they don't see like all the behind the scenes and things like that. Can you dive a little bit into that of like what kind of things it takes and what does your behind the scenes look like? What does it take to be a person on the internet?
The behind the scenes is a hot mess express. It's a lot of work and it's not always fun. We're just being real. I feel like when you see content creators, you're just like, oh, they just get to like take videos and like take pictures all day. But it's just like, no. Like a lot of my days are literally just sit behind a computer reading emails. I hate emails. Emails are the death of me. I'm so bad at it. I just don't like emails, but a lot of it's behind the computer. I take all my own photos. I do all my own videos. So it's just like me and my tripod trying to find spots around my house to like take a picture or do a video, and then still like doing, you know, other adult things like doing laundry in between things and like cooking lunch and then like having to go to the doctor and then coming back to like submit a photo. It's just like all this stuff that like I wish it was just like snap a photo or like quickly like film a video, but it's not. And then you have like, if you're ever working with a sponsorship, like there's requirements, like there's, you can't just like hop on a camera. I wish it was like that. It's a lot harder. I still love it. It's amazing. I'm so blessed and I wouldn't want to be doing anything else right now, but it is hard work. And so don't let anybody tell you it's not, because it is.
Yeah. And it's a real job, as much as some people like to not think that. I don't know. I think there's so many different parts to this that people don't realize. Like the people who are able to just pull out their phone, whip out Instagram or whatever, and just like bang out a photo right then and there. I'm like, you are part of either a really pretty place or you're part of like the casual Instagram circle. And I would like to see that circle like continue to grow. But in the meantime, the rest of us continue to, you know, do lots of nice work to make everything flow well and have a beautiful grid. And oh, speaking of a beautiful grid, please go check out Samara's Instagram page. It's at Samara Therese. The notes and everything will be in the show notes and description as always. And I have to say, your grid and your like aesthetic is just so put together. It's so pretty. It's just so gorgeous. I saw recently that you started an OnlyFans page. Is your OnlyFans as pretty as this? Can you tell us a little bit more?
I started that. I think it was the end of last year, because Instagram had just taken down a photo of myself. I was topless, but I was obviously covered, and they removed it for what reason, I don't know, because other women post the exact same pictures. And I was like, fuck this, I'm going to OnlyFans. So that's been fun, because I can just post whatever I want. I can express myself the way I want. And I can just really truly express my sexuality, and that's been really fun, like buying like nipple pasties and being able to do body painting. Like It's so much fun. And I'm actually very surprised at how respectful some people have been who subscribe, like respectful of boundaries, especially the men. I was like kind of shocked. Like when I'm just like, you're respecting a woman in this space. Like I was like, wow, this is cool. So I've just really been able to express myself. It's been fun. I remember when I first started, I was very nervous. I was like, are people going to think, you know, oh, like I'm one of those people, or like, are they going to shame me or something? But like, one of those people is awesome. If you're one of those people, I applaud you. You're amazing. You do it. Boo, you get the bag. And two, absolutely no shame now. Cause I have nothing to hide. Like it's my body. I wish I could show it more, but every time I tried to, Instagram removes my post. So I resorted to OnlyFans and I love it.
I can't believe that Insta would just take it down, although I guess they have been like just policing bodies left and right. Do you have the same issue with TikTok too?
Oh yeah. And it's worse. TikTok is worse. And if you ask any creator, I feel like they're going to tell you the same thing. TikTok is 10 times worse. Videos on Reels, I could post easily, like in underwear or something, you're moved on TikTok. Plus size women have it really, really hard. They could just be wearing shorts and a t-shirt and it could be removed for nudity. It could be fully clothed.
But not even nudity.
So, I know. So I'm struggling being a sexually sex positive, you know, content creator. Like there's certain things like I can't say, I can't post, I have to use other words. It's really frustrating. And then I can only imagine what the plus size community feels when they can breathe and it can be taken down for sexuality. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. So TikTok for that reason sucks. They need to fix it. I don't know if they ever will, but they need to get on it because they need to stop. And I think the hardest part too is when they ban people's accounts, like they just take it away. And if you're a content creator, like this is your life. Like you ban an account, like their income just went away. So they've got to fix that because it's ridiculous. I feel so sorry for all the people who keep getting their accounts taken down and posts removed because TikTok really just sucks sometimes.
I literally actually just made my TikTok today.
Yay!
Which has been very exciting. I followed you right away and it's been so like, I don't know, interesting to see TikTok try and be this place of like, oh, everyone can be themselves. Oh, wait, just kidding. Not if you're like a plus size person, because then we're not okay with it anymore.
I 100% agree with everything you just said. 100%.
I feel like a big movement that I have not seen talked about a whole bunch, but that you talk about sometimes is aging and aging bodies. There's this one person I follow on Insta called Accidental Icon, who's just like absolutely amazing. She's like a, I want to say like 60 or 70 year old woman who's just got like beautiful, beautiful fashion outfits. And I feel like, I don't know, like society is just constantly looking for ways to hide aging, you know, with like hair dye and Botox for like injections. And now people are getting like preventative Botox as a thing too. What is the like body positive community like kind of doing in this space and like aging and whatnot?
I feel like the effects that society has put on us when it comes to aging are still in me because I'm turning 25 this year. And all of a sudden, I don't know if TikTok just knows me, but it started showing me videos like people talking about how at 25 is when you start aging. And I hate that like the first thought was like fear, but like that's how I felt because like you don't see a lot of like older women in the bikini ads. You don't see a lot of older women in the skincare ads. You just don't. You don't see a lot of the wrinkles. You don't see a lot of what aging actually looks like. So I feel like that's going to be a whole new journey that I'm not even on yet to be confident as I'm aging and learning how to like deal with that when you don't see it a lot. Like you don't see a lot of creators, you know, talking about the aging process or being just open about the wrinkles or, you know, different things that happen with aging. So I think that's going to be interesting as I get older, just really diving into that because I don't know how I feel about that. And like you said, like preventative Botox, I'm just like, do I need that? Like, these are the thoughts in my head. It's like, am I supposed to be doing that right now? Like, am I supposed to be like, should I switch my entire skincare routine because I'm going to start aging? Like, so these are thoughts that are in my head. I wish they weren't, but like, they are. It's just like the reality of just like, this is how I feel. And although I want to be a positive, confident person all the time, the reality is I'm still a human and I still see the media and the media is still, you know, thrown at me all the time. So that's still something I'm working on. But that's going to be hard because that's a whole new journey that I haven't even began yet.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I think like there's been so many like little tinier procedures that people are doing with like lip fillers and like preventative Botox and stuff like that. And like with Insta, like the ads are just like constantly marketing them. I am like nonstop getting things for like lasering away your hair and stuff like that. And I wonder like, you know, are these things really that big? Is everyone just doing them? Or is it that okay? Like, I think there's been a huge movement for, you know, being comfortable to wear your hair however you want and like not shave if you feel like it. But at the same time, I see like, you know, I see that on a content creator. And then the next thing that Insta shows me is an ad about like lasering away hair. So It's just weird what the ads and the algorithm is constantly giving us. What does your algorithm look like?
My algorithm, honestly, on Instagram, it's pretty good because I've made sure that I'm really only following people that make me feel good. TikTok is another story because most of the time it's, you know, body positive women, it's plus size women, it's body confident women, it's sexually empowered women. And that's what I want to see. But every once in a while, it'll sprinkle in something that I'm not here for and I do not believe. And I'm just like, oh no, I clearly got the wrong page. I feel like it's really important for you to create a space that you actually enjoy on social media. So if something you're not feeling, you need to block, you need to delete. I don't know what you need to do, but you need to remove it because you don't need to see that because it'll bring you down.
I'm still too embarrassed to talk about this for myself. But one thing I love about your content is how much you talk about like toys and vibrators and masturbation. Do you have like a favorite dildo?
I do. One of my favorite toys for the G-spot specifically, it's called the Oh My G. It's by Ioba Toys. If you've never heard of it, check it out. It is incredible. It mimics that fingering motion you would get with foreplay with a partner. And I really can't say enough good things about it. If you're the kind of person who enjoys G-spot stimulation, I highly recommend that. It's incredible. But yeah, I'm very open about that kind of stuff. I've got so many toys. I couldn't even name them all. They're awesome. It's been a fun way to like explore things for my sexuality with my partner or without my partner. They're just fun. So if you've ever just wanted something fun, something different, if you're just kind of stuck, whether you're single or whether you want to try with a partner, just get a toy. Go online, start scrolling through, get a toy. They're fun. They're, you know, it's a safe way to explore your sexuality and it's a whole lot of fun.
I also saw that, like, I don't know, I think it's really sick that like you're in a relationship and yet like, you know, continuing to talk about masturbation and stuff. Cause like, I don't know, I see so many things on like online and on like Reddit or whatever, where someone just gets so offended by someone else who is masturbating the relationship as if it's some sort of like reflection on who they are as a person. I just don't understand that.
I have never understood it either because it's always just been kind of like a given for me. Like I've never like asked the partner if they were okay with it. Maybe I should have, maybe that should be more communication, but it's just been kind of like in my brain, I was like, doing it too, right? Like, I feel like we're both okay. Like, that's my assumption, but I guess every relationship is different. Obviously, you need to communicate. But it's never been weird for me at all because I feel like I started like experimenting, I guess, with myself at like a younger age. So I feel like it's just been kind of normal. And it's not even like, I don't even give it a second thought. I'm just like, yeah, that's something essential for me. Like, that's, you can't take that away from me. Like, I need that. Like, that is very essential for me as a person, as a woman. I just need it. It has nothing to do with the person in the relationship. I don't care who I'm dating. Like, it's going to be the same thing. I don't care if sex is amazing. I'm still going to want to have my alone time. It's just what it is. So, like,
I don't know. With sex and like exploring your body and stuff, it can be so hard to have good sex with a partner if you don't even know what you like. And like, you know, you can, some people like me really struggle with like getting themselves off when they're by themselves. And that's something I've always struggled with. But like, just by like exploring by myself, I feel like it helps so much with like knowing what I do and don't like. And then you can just communicate that, you know, and have even better sex with your partner. So even better. I do want to know, like, where is your work going in the future? Like, what do you think is going to be happening to you, to Samara Therese, as like a content creator, to your content, etc.?
Well, I hope it's something great. No idea. I feel like the part of being a content creator, it's very stressful because it's you. Like, you are the brand. So like, if you aren't okay, or if you're trying to figure things out, like you have to show up every day. So it's very hard, to the point where it's like, it's really hard for me to even think about like super future plans right now. I'm just trying to make it through every day and exist and take it day by day. Cause basically I have no idea where the content's going. I have no idea if I'm going to want to do content creation forever. I have no idea, but currently it seems to be making some people happy. So I'm going to keep doing that for the time being.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like just everything this past year and stuff has left a lot of commitment issues and stuff in me. What are the things that you follow that do make you feel good? Are there any like books or creators or like bloggers that you would recommend?
I think one of the first bloggers when I was starting, or content creators that when I started like learning to love myself again, was Mary's Cup of Tea. She is just an incredible incredible woman. She really showcases her whole journey, her struggle with her body, her struggle with food, her struggle with having an unhealthy relationship with fitness. So she has been really incredible. And then another beautiful woman, and I really hope I did not butcher her name, but I believe it is, it's going to be in the show notes, but I believe it is Jamie Karama. She is an incredible plus size Black woman. She is all about body positivity and fitness, and she is just a ray of sunshine. I love her account as well. So there are literally so many. I could probably write a book on just the amount of people, but if you're looking to just kind of like dive in, dip your toe into like some really incredible women, those two are amazing.
That sounds really great. I'm always trying to diversify and improve my feed with more positive things and stuff too. So is there anything that you wanted to touch on before we wrap this up?
Regardless of what you want to do, being yourself really does get you the farthest. I wasn't myself on social media for so long. The minute I started just being my real self is when things really started to change. So truly, just be yourself. You got to try not to care so much about other people's opinions too, because not everyone's going to love you. So that's my words of wisdom.
You know, I was interviewing someone else for like a video I was creating the other day, and they said something about how, you know, everyone is going to have an opinion on your life, whether you do something or you don't do something, they're still going to have an opinion. And I was like, man, that just like really struck with me for some reason. Cause I was like, up until then I was like, oh, if I do the right thing, people won't mind. But now I'm like, you know what? No, just by existing, that's already just a means of like, people are offended that I am a woman. People are offended that I am queer, et cetera, et cetera. And, I don't know, hearing her phrase it in that way just really struck one with me. Thank you so much, so much, so much for coming on the podcast, Samara. It has been super duper awesome to have you here. Where can our guests go to find more about you, read more about you, check out your content?
You can follow me on Instagram if you want to. It's just at Samara Therese, and the same username for TikTok as well. My blog /website is called justconfidentlyme.com. So there's some sex articles on there, self-love stuff on there. I need to update it more often. I'm trying to work on that. But yeah, those are the places to find me.
Awesome. So coming up next week for our listeners, we're going to be talking about Gen Z, millennials, fashion, changes in fashion, sustainability. If you'd like a sneak peek at the episode, come join our clubhouse. We go live every Wednesday at 4:15 p.m. Pacific time. If you have a topic or question that you'd like us to discuss, you can hit me up. My DMs are always open, and you can find me on pretty much every single platform, YouTube, Insta, Twitter, oh, and now on TikTok at Notes by Neva. So that is all we have for you now. I will see you all on the next page.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature.